wanted to bring one more message in this series because I think it is really, really important. We have been making choices the last few weeks. And if today is your first day and you're saying, what, I missed something. I don't know what's been taught the last few weeks. You can always catch up on YouTube, or if you want to scroll down Facebook, you can find our services that are archived there. But YouTube is the easiest place to go and catch those services. But go and listen and allow this word to help you, because you need this. You need this. We need joy in our lives. And if you're currently you're in a good space and just in a good season, and you're like, you know what, I don't want to mess anything up. It's good right now. Guess what? Time and chance happens to all of us. It rains on the just and the unjust. If you don't need it right now, there is coming a day when you are going to need it. And at the outset of this series, I told you the holidays are coming, and there's going to be the opportunity, you know, to get with families, maybe some in-laws, some outlaws, some challenging situations. And there's just a lot of things that the enemy will use to steal our joy and to keep us from being on top, or keep us from being happy, or keep us from being full and fulfilled. And so we've been teaching and working through this word, understand that our joy is not based in our circumstance. Our happiness is not rooted in our situation. We are bigger than that. We have more than that. And God is doing big things in our lives. So week one, some four Sundays ago, we talked about the prayer and joy connection, making the first choice, and that was the choice to pray. When I just wake up every day and ask God, invite Him to be a part of everything, and allow me to be a part of everything that He is doing. We understand the prayer and the joy connection. And then week two, we talked about purity. We dealt with sin. We found out some things that will kill joy in our lives. We learned that we can't be guilty and happy at the same time. It's just really, really tough to live this double lifestyle, but the Lord helped us with that. And then last Sunday, we talked about joy on purpose. He's given me joy for a reason. He wants me to do something with what I have been given. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. That's a song we used to sing. But this joy, it makes me want to serve. It makes me want to help other people and make a difference in others' lives. And so today I'm going to come full circle and go back to Isaiah 61 and just pull out one verse, even a portion of a verse, Isaiah 61 and 3. We touched on this in week number one and have throughout the series, but I really want to wrap this right here today, because Isaiah said in prophecy, in declaring how things would be, he said to give them the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So we've sent him to preach. He's coming to preach. He's coming to declare. These are the things that's going to happen. He's going to give them the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We all have had mourning moments in our lives. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Mourning moments. Yes, we have mourning every day. Those early hours, but these are mourning. These are the tough emotions. These are the challenges in life, and there are many. Whether it is losing a loved one, or mourning how life used to be, maybe mourning good health, and now the last few months or the last few years, I just haven't felt myself. I've been dealing with something, or I've been facing a diagnosis. There are mourning moments in life. But there is joy in spite of all of that. And then he said there was heaviness. There was heaviness. I you know, as I thought through this, preparing to preach today, I thought about normal heaviness. There is normal heaviness in life. There are bills that's due. There's challenges. There's heaviness. There's difficulty. And then there is spiritual heaviness. There's normal life heaviness. There's normal life responsibilities that get heavy and challenging. But then there is spiritual heaviness. And right now in 2021, it's almost hard to decipher the difference in these two. We've noted throughout the series that medication is way up. Suicides are off the charts, higher than any time and any other day that we have lived. And so we know there is joy for mourning, but guess what? There is an answer for the heaviness as well. We know we can choose joy, but what am I going to do with this heaviness? Because I'll get good and fired up, Pastor Darrell. I come to church and man, I feel so much better after I've been to church, but something about pulling back into my driveway. There's something about walking through my front door. There's something about sitting down at my kitchen table. There's something about going into the office. The heaviness comes back, and then I find myself all week long, I can't wait to get back to church. I can't wait to be encouraged again. I can't wait to be lifted again. I can't wait to be blessed again. But how do I get rid of the heaviness when I'm not at church, when I don't have a worship team so beautifully leading me out of the heavy place and into the heavenly place? Well, let me tell you the answer for heaviness. The answer for heaviness is praise. He said there is a garment of praise. It is a garment to be put on. I intended to wear some sort of jacket today when I was preparing and didn't do it this morning, but just to show you the putting off and the putting on of a garment. But all of you got dressed today, so surely you know exactly what I'm talking about. You had to go to your closet today and choose something to wear. You had to pick something. You had to select something. Some of you, that took you no time at all, and we can tell. Just kidding. Just trying to check and see if you're awake. Others stood there for a long time and said, I have nothing to wear. What am I going to wear? Honey, does this make me look fat? We're not going to answer that question. We're not dumb. I have nothing to wear. And we look, no, I can't wear that because, you know, we're in this weird weather season right now. It's beautiful. It's fantastic. But it's like in the 40s, low 50s on my way to church. And by the time I get out of church, it's already going to be 70. So, you know, I'm boots with the fur in the morning and then, you know, just shedding it in the afternoon because it's warm and beautiful, and I'm having to select something. It's the same way with praise, because praise is not automatic. Just like you had to choose something to wear today, you have to choose to put on the garment of praise. Praise is a choice, but hear me, that is what makes praise so powerful. What makes it powerful is when you choose to do it in spite of the other options you had. I chose to praise instead of worry. I chose to praise instead of complain. I put on the garment of praise instead of just wearing the heaviness throughout my day. I decided to give him the praise that he deserves. I chose this. Just look at somebody on your row and tell them, I chose this today. I decided to do this. That's why I came to church, because I chose to praise the Lord. But I'm going to give you some truth about praise today, because really there is almost a doctrine and a theology about praise. I think sometimes we think, it's just the hype. It's just, you know, it's just the pastor wanting everybody to be excited. But listen, there is power in your praise. And I want to tell you some things about praise that's very powerful today. First of all, praise focuses on God, not me. Praise focuses on God, not me. Remember, we're after selfless, not selfish. We're trying to mature, graduate, move beyond selfless. I know it is a selfie society. I know everybody everywhere is taking pictures of themselves and picking right filters. And it is a me, myself, and I society. Everyone is focused on what they are going through and on what they are dealing with. But hear me, if we want the heaviness to lift in our lives, we need to stop focusing on ourselves and put the focus on God. The last thing that you and I need is more time to stew, more time to wallow, more time to sit with ourselves thinking these foreboding thoughts. You know what we need to do today? We need to leave the pity party and go to the praise party. We need to stop feeling sorry for ourselves and start feeling thankful for the Lord and all that He's done and who He is. Praise focuses on God and not on me. That's where the focus needs to be, not on me. It needs to be on God. What would happen this week if when those thoughts come, when that heaviness comes, you just say, no, I'm not going to think, I'm not going to spend time worrying about this. I'm going to do what I can to solve and to settle and to change my situation. I'm going to do what is within my power, and then I'm going to leave it at the feet of the Lord, and I am going to praise Him and honor Him and worship Him. I'm going to give glory to His name, and I'm telling you, this time next week, you're going to have a testimony because the Lord has worked in your life. You can't put the focus on Him and it not make Him want to work for you. If you'll make His business your business, then He'll make your business His business. He's just a good God like that. Is anybody thankful for the Lord and His grace to help us? Psalm 50 and verse 23, those who sacrifice thank offerings honor me. Those who bring the sacrifice of thank offerings, they are thankful, they are grateful, they are full of gratitude. They put the focus on God and not on themselves. Let me tell you another truth about praise. Praise reminds me of the eternal, not the temporal. Praise reminds me of the eternal, not the temporal. Because this life cannot be only about this life. It has to be about the life that is to come. As I said a moment ago, and as I've said throughout this series, this generation is the most medicated, the most addicted, the most emotionally stressed of any generation in history. Compared to previous generations, why were those generations so much happier than you and I are? Why are those older generations, why were they so much more full of joy than we are? How did they know how to deal with the heaviness in life? Why were they happier? I just offer this as an observation. They sang about heaven every single Sunday. Songs like "This World Is Not My Home," "I'm Just Passing Through," "My Treasures Are Laid Up Somewhere Beyond the Blue." Anybody remember those songs? I see some gray-haired folk waving. They sing about heaven. "Won't we have a time? When we get over yonder, won't we have a time? When we get over yonder, won't we have a time?" Young people are like, "Who did Hillsong do that?" Nope. Is that Mav City? No. That's just old. It's old, but it's what they sang every single Sunday. They sang about heaven, and it put them in a different frame of mind. Because the truth is, if we focus too much on the temporal or the temporary, then we'll lose hope. But guess what? My hope is in Jesus and spending eternity with Him. There's only so much tinkering I can do with this life that I have. There's only so many years I have to do what He's called me to do. But it's not about the here and the now. I'm going to occupy until it comes. I'm going to work while it is day. I'm going to do everything I can today to make a difference in someone's life. But I realize the investment that I'm making today is all about eternity. I haven't forgotten about heaven. I haven't forgotten about a trump sounding and this bride being caught up to meet Him in the air. I don't want you to forget about the eternal. Stop focusing on the temporary, because it is causing you to be depressed and to lose hope in your life. And praise will help you with that perspective. Praise will shift that mindset. It will remind you of the eternal and not the temporal. Let's look at some Bible, because I can prove this to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is teaching verses 8 and 9. We are hard pressed on every side. So he said, let me give you some reality. Let me tell you what I'm facing. Let me tell you what I'm dealing with. Let me tell you what I'm going through. We are hard pressed on every side. I can't look toward a side and not see hard things and heaviness and challenges and difficulty. Hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. This is a right attitude. This is someone who is not focusing on the temporal. I'm not spending my time trying to change all of the things that are not working in my life. I'm focusing on the eternal. How does he do that? He's not in the eternal yet. He's still in these real situations, but he's reaching for the eternal. Look at verse 17. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory. So he said the things that we're going through, the things that we're wrestling with, the things that we're dealing with, the temporary things, they are momentary troubles. They are light troubles. But they are helping us achieve an eternal glory. And that far outweighs them all. Everything that I'm going through, this eternal hope outweighs all of that. My excitement for heaven, my excitement for what God is going to redeem in my life, it outweighs all of the hardship and the struggle and the difficulty. So he said, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, hard pressed, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. I'm not focusing on those things. I'm fixing my eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I'm not focusing on the worry, I'm focusing on the worship. I'm not focusing on the grueling, I'm focusing on the giving. I'm choosing to have the right perspective. Let me tell you one more truth about praise. Praise is outward, not inward. We'll say it again. Praise is outward, not inward. Now, I don't have time today to teach on the difference in praise and worship. There is a difference, and worship can be very much inward. It can be very much my thoughts. It can be very much just the feelings and the emotions of my heart and all of that. But praise is altogether different, and praise is outward. Praise is not inward. We used to sing that song, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. It never makes it to my face, but it's down in my heart. It never finds a way to my feet, but it's down in my heart. No, we don't sing that anymore. There's a reason, because praise is outward and not inward. Praise has to come to my hands, and praise has to come to my face, and praise has to show up in my feet. Yes, worship is very much inward, but praise shows up on the outside. I've said this before, but it holds true. If I think you're a great person, but I never tell you you're a great person, then I haven't praised you. I've only thought about you, but you don't even know my thoughts. You can't read my mind. If I just think that God is good, but I never tell him, well, Lord, read my mind. No, he's saying, I don't want to read your mind. I want to see it. I want you to express it. I want you to praise me. I want to see it happening on the outside. Hebrews 13 and 15, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. The fruit of lips that openly, everyone say openly. The fruit of lips that openly, because this is not a secret, lips that openly profess his name. And sometimes praise is a sacrifice. Because sometimes I'm asked to praise when I don't feel like it. Often I have nothing else to wear. I just can't put on that heaviness again. I can't put on that attitude again. I can't put on ungratefulness again. And praise, the garment of praise, is the only thing left for me to wear. Let me put on that garment. Sometimes it is a sacrifice. There is also, I can't spend much time here, but there's an Old Testament reference and understanding to sacrifice, because before Jesus came, the ultimate sacrifice, they brought doves, they brought lambs, they brought a sacrifice. That is what granted them access. That is what allowed them to come in to the presence of the Lord. But the writer of Hebrews says, through Jesus, because you and I have a relationship with Jesus. We're not bringing doves to church. We're not bringing lambs to church. We don't have a team of people that are inspecting your sacrifice to say, no, this is clean, that's unclean. You're going to have to do some work on that, but this is acceptable. No, we have Jesus. Now we just bring the sacrifice of praise. Praise is what grants us access to his presence. Does anybody want to be in the presence of the Lord? Does anybody want to feel the anointing and the glory and the power of Jesus? If you want that, all you have to do is bring your praise. Whoo! This is good preaching today. Meat for the bones. I want access. I want our church to have access to the presence of God, to the glory of God, to the goodness of the Lord. I'm going to move very quickly, but I want to talk to you about the sacrificial choice today. We've talked about the first choice. We've talked about the daily choice. We've talked about the life-changing choice. But this is the sacrificial choice. Let me read Luke 19, verses 37 through 40 in the Message translation. Right at the crest where Mount Olive begins its descent, the whole crowd of disciples burst into enthusiastic praise. What do you think that looked like? What do you think that sounded like? Enthusiastic is a big word. It's a grand word. They burst into enthusiastic praise over all the mighty works they had witnessed. Blessed is he who comes, the King in God's name. All's well in heaven. Glory in the high places. Some Pharisees from the crowd told him, "Teacher, get your disciples under control." Because the enemy always wants you to be under control. He's happy for you to be out of control in your addictions. Lord, I may just preach today. He wants you to be out of control in your worry. He wants you to be out of control in your anxiety. But when it comes to praise, get under control. Sit on your hands. Be quiet. Keep your mouth shut. You remember blind Bartimaeus? I don't have time to preach all that I'm feeling and hearing in my spirit right now, but Bartimaeus was blind sitting on the side of the road, and he heard that Jesus was down a few blocks. And so Bartimaeus said, I'm not going to wait for him to get right in front of me. He could get detoured. He could get delayed. Somebody could turn him right or move him down into another village somewhere. And so he started hollering out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And everybody around Bartimaeus said, hey, hold your peace, be quiet. But the Bible said that he cried even more loudly, Jesus, thou son of David. And the only one we see getting a miracle that day is the one who is praising, the one who is loud, the one who is enthusiastically worshiping and magnifying the Lord. I don't know who's going to get it today, but I have a feeling it's going to be the one who's not bashful to clap their hands. I don't know who's going to receive it, but I have a feeling it's going to be somebody online that doesn't care what your other family members in the living room think. You're just going to give God the worship and the praise that he deserves because you want the change in your life. Get your disciples under control. But Jesus said if they kept quiet, the stones would do it for them, shouting praise. In other words, there is going to be praise. But what an indictment if an inanimate object, even though it was created by God, what an indictment if some object somewhere was giving God the praise and I who have tasted and seen, experienced and felt the goodness of the Lord in my life because I am being too lazy or just being whatever it is that's keeping me from giving God the praise that he deserves. Man, anybody feel like praising God today? Feel like I could charge hell with a water pistol. Ready to fight a devil. Why? Because praise sets me up for victory. Sets me up for victory. But hear me, praise is bigger. It's bigger than six letters. Praise is our English word. But when you look at praise in the Hebrew, it's fascinating because Hebrew is a very pictorial language. They may take a full paragraph to define a word in the Hebrew, something that we would just, just praise. It's six letters. It's praise. That's all it is. But it's so descriptive for them. There is an entire book. It is the biggest book in the Bible, the Psalms, 150 chapters. And the theme of the entire book, the biggest book in the Bible, is praise. He took 150 chapters, the largest book in the Bible, to encourage us and to define for us and to describe for us the word praise. It's fascinating. This word with six letters actually has seven different meanings, and he uses them all throughout the scripture. I'm going to give them to you very, very quickly. I'm not going to be long. The first one is Hallel. Hallel. You know what Hallel means? It means to rave, boast, celebrate, to be clamorously foolish. It's where we get the word hallelujah. We say the word hallelujah. Now let me ask you, the last time you said the word hallelujah, was there any raving, any boasting, any celebration? Was there any clamorously foolish? Some of you are like, I don't even know what that means. I don't know if I've been that or not. It's this boisterous. It's this over the top. It's this extra. Oh, we're hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. And you say, well, Pastor Darrell, you know, I come from this tradition, or I come from that tradition, or today's my first time. And, you know, the tradition I come from, we're just not quite this loud. I don't want to break any news to you today, but this is the same meaning in every Greek and Hebrew lexicon there is. It is not one definition for Baptists. There's not one definition for Pentecostals. There's not one definition for Presbyterians. There's just the definition to rave, boast, celebrate. and clamorously be foolish in your praise. Psalm 35 and 18 is where that word is used. I will thank you in front of the great assembly. I will, hallel, I will praise you before all the people. Well, this is something I like to do in the privacy of my own home. I get embarrassed. I'm shy. I'm nervous about all of that. He said, do it in front of all the people. Not put on a show, not draw attention to yourself, but not to be ashamed of your praise before the Lord. Now, I mean, it's just too obvious. I mean, the Braves are going to the World Series, but every game I've watched, and I am a Houston Astro fan, I'm just going to be honest, it's just going to be a problem for the next few days, but we'll get through this. We'll get through this. But I've been watching both series. I've watched the Astros win. I've watched the Braves win. It's been fantastic. I didn't see one person in the stands who was ashamed to praise what was happening on the field. No, they're acting like fools. They're having a blast, and they should. There's lots of reasons. I mean, when Rosario hit that, I thought it was a foul ball. He pulled it so hard, I thought, oh no, it's going to go foul. No, that thing was line drive straight into the seats, and the place goes crazy. I see Facebook statuses. I see tweets. I see Instagram. Everybody is raving and boasting. And then for some reason, we come to church and it's time to be reverent. The devil is a lie. He's cheating us out of something. He's causing us to miss out on something. I'm not going to cheer for Rosario louder than I'm going to cheer for God. No, no, no. I'm going to give praise. And I'm not, hear me, I'm not saying don't cheer for that man. I'll cheer. I was cheering for him last night. But when I get to church, you better know I've got more energy for the goodness of the Lord than I do for a good baseball player. Hello. Yada. That's number two. That means to acknowledge God in public. To acknowledge in public. To yada. To yada. To yada. I'm acknowledging in public. I wear a wedding band because I'm acknowledging in public that I am married. I'm spoken for. I'm celebrating 20 years this week. 20 years marriage. We've never talked about divorce, Joanne, but we have talked about murder a few times. She's up in church kids today, so I don't tell her anything I say. But I yada her, I acknowledge in public. How weird would it be for me to leave the house in the morning having worn my wedding band, hey honey, I'm heading out, I'll see you later. Set that on the kitchen counter. What do you know? I'm not going to acknowledge this in public. In other words, I'm gonna be one way at church and another way while I'm at work. I'm going to have one kind of an attitude when I'm around my church friends and a different attitude when I'm around my work friends. No. I want to yada. I want to acknowledge in public. I don't have to be weird. I don't have to get on people's nerves. I don't have to make people uncomfortable. But I can still praise and be thankful for the goodness of the Lord even in public. Psalm 138 and 1, I will yada you. I will acknowledge in public, O Lord, with all my heart. Number three, Barak. It means to bless by kneeling or bowing. Think presenting yourself to someone or bowing. Other countries do this. They bow as a sign of respect, as a sign of yielding and humility before one another. Think surrender. When I get in the presence of the Lord, I am decreasing so that He can increase. It's not my wisdom, my intellect, my smart, my talent, not anything I possess. When I get in the presence of the Lord, I am bowing. I am surrendering to the excellency of the Lord. There is no one like you. There is none beside you. I kneel before you, Lord, because I make myself as low as I can get myself, because because you are so great and you are so majestic and you are so powerful and you are so awesome and you are so worthy. When I get in the presence of the Lord, it makes me want to repent. It makes me want to get clean. It makes me want to get pure. I get down low and bow because He needs to be as big as He can be in my life. He needs to be as great as He can be in my life. So Psalm 103 and 1, Barak the Lord, kneel before the Lord. Oh, my soul, all my inmost being, Barak His holy name. I praise Him. I praise Him. I praise Him. I'm closing. Number four, Zamar. Zamar, making music to God with strings. Guitars are good. Loud guitars are good. Stringed instruments, violins, cellos, bass guitars are good. It's a definition of praise, making music to God with strings. Psalm 92 and 1, it is good to zamar the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High. What about number five? Number five is Shabak. Means to address in a loud tone, to shout. Why do you get loud, preacher? I'm just shabaking. Just get passionate sometimes. Just get excited sometimes. Shabak, to address in a loud tone, to shout. Loud. Sometimes we get loud. Sometimes we're not nearly loud enough. It's all right. We're going to do things decent and in order. We don't want to mess with your tradition, but this is just who we are. We're excited about what God has done in our lives. Psalm 63, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. I will shabak you as long as I live. I didn't graduate because I got older. And I didn't graduate from extending or expending energy in praise. No, I still worship Him. I may not be running as fast, but I've still got dance. My dance may have become a shuffle. May have become just a little side to side. But there's still something inside of me that will shabak the Lord and to praise Him. Number six is todah, to lift hands in adoration. To lift hands. He said this multiple times, used this definition throughout multiple scriptures. He who offers todah glorifies me. And to him that orders his conversation aright will show the salvation of God. Because this idea of todah, it really is defined two different ways. One of them is this, ooh, 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 raising, ooh, ooh, I know, yeah, ooh, ooh, I know. The other one is to be in surrender like someone has a gun pointed at you. Nope, not fighting. No, I'm surrendering. And while the Lord never holds a gun to you, no, there is the ultimate surrender. I surrender. I take my hands off of my life and off of my plans and off of my ideas. I surrender to you. Here's number seven, Tehillah. Exuberant singing. We need this one again. There is something powerful about a congregation singing. I've been traveling a lot the last several weeks, the last couple of months. I've had a heavy schedule preaching and being in other churches. And I love to go. I love to go and help people and But I'm amazed. Everywhere I go, people are not singing. stages are active and platforms are energetic. Music is fantastic, but people in the congregation are not singing. And you say, Pastor Darrell, now here we go. We could get into a whole church fuss because we don't know them songs. They're not the songs we grew up on. And I understand that. And certainly we could work hard to mix in and to make sure that the old is represented. We've had people leave our church because they just don't like the new songs. It's just the old songs. Do you realize that the old songs were once new songs? Just a thought. It's all right to adapt and to change and styles, and our team works hard. We work hard. We're not doing frivolous singing and just songs about beat. I was in a church recently, and I, you know, for 30 minutes or so, I thought, there's nothing vertical about this. There's nothing calling me to lift my hands. There's nothing pushing me to give praise to God. This is just about, you know, dance and move feet. And I get it. I'm not judging anybody, but hey, let's learn. Let's be a part of this. Let's get involved in this. Let's see what God can do. And literally, Tehillah, exuberant singing. Psalm 34:1, I will extol the Lord at all times. His Tehillah will always be on my lips. His song will always be on my lips. I'm singing. I like all kinds of music. Yesterday, Elle and I were out and about running errands and doing things, and I went everywhere from, you know, gospel to CCM, dipped into some country for a few moments. I like all kinds of music. I can do some rap here. I enjoy all kinds of music. But it's amazing when I'm just wandering about the house or when I'm just in my office alone, the songs that come out of me, the words that come out of me, the praise that is on my lips. It is the song of the Lord. Praise, praise, praise. I'm calling our church to praise. If we want joy, if we want happiness, if we want a life full of Jesus, his power, his presence, his peace, then this is the next choice. We got to make a choice to praise. Why don't you stand with me across the room today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you. I thank you for what you're speaking into our house. I thank you for what you're teaching us. I thank you for the word that is coming alive for us. I'm learning, I'm stretching, I'm growing. I'm understanding that church is so much more. It's so much more than just me attending, me coming in and just being a part of a congregation for 90 minutes on a Sunday. No, you're calling me to something greater. This time in your presence, it's just the launching pad. It's the catalyst. It's the sending place. It's home base. I've still got to get to first and second. And I got to get around so that I can score in life. I can be successful in your spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you speak. Thank you for what you say. Thank you, Lord, for the call to lift my hands, for the call to sing the song of the Lord, to shabak, to shout, to lift hands and declare. So thankful, Lord. So grateful. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now here's the question. Do you need a song? Do we need a beat? Do we need a cheerleader? Do we need any of that to make us want to praise the Lord? Or if I simply invited you to join me for just a moment to say, Lord, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you. Anybody feel like praising him? Hallelujah! Sorry, I'll be the loud one. Thank you, Jesus! I'll cover that loud part. Lord, you're awesome! Great and greatly to be praised. Incredible, big, powerful, great, awesome. Thank you, Lord. I clap my hands. I open up my mouth. I lift my voice. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus.
You change everything.